Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
I'm excited. I'm extremely excited. And our team did a great job of just, you know, believing in the coaching staff and believing in our guys upstairs, you know, of the direction that they are going with the team. It paid off last year. So this year is not going to be any different.
Mike Danger.
Well, it would appear that you're starting to move in the right direction if you're the Buffalo Bills.
Gene Battaglia.
We get another week of OTAs. Then we get 1 week of mini camp. And then we get training camp.
What's going on with Brian Colangelo?
It's embarrassing as a Sixers fan, as someone who's trusted the process. You got to go.
Every day they're not out there figuring out what's going on with Colangelo. They're also not addressing who's going to handle the draft and free agency for him. It's right around the corner.
The NBA Finals.
The Cavs, as the series shifts back home, are looking at Rodney Hood.
We're going to give Rodney a chance. He'll get a shot and see how he does.
But this is definitely the Cavs throwing dice at the felt, hoping to hit 7 or 11 or whatever you're looking for.
Rochester sports leader, 95.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the Sports Bar. Thanks for joining us during Happy Hour. Mike Danger and Gene Battaglia on AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester, ESPNRochester.com, and the free-to-download radio.com app that allows you to listen to ESPN Rochester anywhere, anytime. Game 5 of the Stanley Cup playoffs tomorrow night. Vegas. Their backs against the wall. We welcome into the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia, the voice of the Vegas Golden Knights, Dan Duva. How are you, Dan?
Great, guys. Good to be with you. How's it going?
Great, Dan. You're no stranger to Rochester. I mean, having you ever pinch yourself like last year, calling the Calder Cup Final, Syracuse Crunch, and now here you are in Vegas. Dan, take us back to the beginning of the season. At what point, first, and thank you for your time today. At what point did you realize, wait a second, this might be something special here. This team is going to be way better than people are going to give them credit for.
Well, I mean, for me, it was just, I knew it was different when I didn't have to see Don Stevens every 2 days with Crunch and the Amherst. You know, I missed Don, so not seeing Don meant something was up. I think that when you see a group coming together, and this is at any level of sports, it's more rare probably at the major league level. But when a group comes together, that there's a certain bond, there's a thread, and it's sometimes called chemistry or synergy on the ice, whatever it is. But it's a group of guys that really appreciate working with each other, playing for each other. I know that sounds a little cliche, but it comes into reality because of the chip on the shoulder that each guy had coming in. Every one of the players on this team, not to mention the management too, they all had a chip on their shoulder because another organization let them go. Whether it was in the expansion draft, they were left unprotected, or in a trade, or Gerard Gallant's case, he was fired by the Florida Panthers, or George McPhee's case, he had been let go by the Washington Capitals after 17 years there. So I think that everybody had that common thread, so they really worried about showing up as the Golden Misfits. That was the James Neal group chat name. All the players didn't meet each other yet, but they needed to talk with each other. So James Neal created a group chat. It was called the Golden Misfits. But I think that was something from the early going. But then when you saw them win, even without Marc-Andre Fleury, it just snowballed from there.
Voice of the Vegas Golden Knights, Dan Duva, joining us here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. The other thing that I thought of, Dan, and you can confirm whether or not this had anything to do with it, but I remember the start of the season being very emotional for this team, for this city, after experiencing the deadliest shooting on American soil, the deadliest mass shooting on American soil. You've got a group of guys now representing a community that's healing. There's some power to that, isn't there?
Oh, my goodness, yeah. And it really accelerated the bond for the people here and the team. Remember, they've never had a major league team here in any sport, as much as it's considered an entertainment capital. They've had minor league teams. They've had, UNLV basketball. You know, there's some minor league hockey history here, but never has something reached a major league level, and that's the visibility. Vegas is known for a lot of things around the world, but not major league sports. So when you have a group of guys that had come together, then when the shooting takes place, it was on the night of the last preseason game, just days before the first regular season trip, which was to Dallas and Arizona, 10 days before the first home game in the regular season. It was the players going out to the community and being at hospitals and schools and visiting with victims and first responders. Not because anybody asked them to do it. The players stepped up and said, what can we do? Where can we go? While a number of the celebratory events for that week had been canceled, they were replaced by these wonderful, though somber moments, of players connecting with the people. And, you know, Vegas is 2.2 million people, but you wonder how much community truly exists here. And I think that for me, seeing how the people in this town embraced the players, but also embraced the idea of community, that there was something that they could rally around. And when the Golden Knights played their first home game, I said it on the air at the time, there are tears of joy, there are tears of sadness, and then there are tears of the kind we've just experienced, because I couldn't put my finger on the emotion. It was something strange. Celebrate the birth of a major league sport in this town, but also the sadness from the tragedy. And the team, the ceremony that day was on point. Derek Englund's speech, and then they go and score four goals in the first 11 minutes of the game, and they beat up on Arizona. It was truly special, and I think that at that point, the community then trust the team. They say, you really are a part of this community. You're not just some group of outsiders who've come in. The hashtag that the team has used since even before that was hashtag Vegas Born. Not a team that relocated here. It is ground up from Las Vegas, and the people have embraced it more and more throughout the season.
He's the voice of the Vegas Golden Knights, Dan Duva, our guest here in the Sports Bar 95.7 ESPN Rochester. Dan, I would say 3-1, it's not looking too good. And then you go by history, the last time it happened, it's only happened once in the Cup Final in a seven-game series, 1942. But it is Washington, right? they do have... So I guess, you know, step one would be taking care of business tomorrow night. What has to happen for Vegas, at least to take Game 5?
Yeah, and the Knights had not lost four games in a row this year. Marc-Andre Fleury had not lost three in a row in regulation since the first three games of 2015. Mm. In other words, it's unprecedented territory for this group. The Capitals really aren't that good, though. I mean, it is impressive how they have taken away the Knights' speed and space. That is something that the Knights have done to opposing teams. With the Sharks and the Jets, you think of them as bigger and quicker teams, but the Knights did such a good job taking away those attributes. The Capitals have done that to the Knights, and Marc-Andre Fleury was a Conn Smythe candidate through the first three rounds, and he looked a little bit more human against the Capitals. Of course, he has played the Capitals plenty in his NHL career, twice in the postseason, and Fleury ended up beating the Capitals in seven games in the two postseason matchups when he was with the Penguins. Obviously, this year it would have to be seven games again. And I don't like to make predictions, but the Golden Knights have faced 500-1 odds going into the start of the season. Even after they had a terrific December, they were still being discussed as a team to trade key players off at the deadline. When everybody assumes that their run is over, they make it go longer and they find more people to impress. So it seems to me that this group embraces that idea as they have all season. So if there is a group of players that truly does believe that they can overcome a 3-1 deficit, I think this is the group. But the home ice, the quick start, that is so important. Having a hot start is a theme that this team had all season, especially at home. So if they can get rolling in game five, you know, they had a pretty good start to game four. They just happened to not score. I mean, James Neal had a wide open net, hit a pipe, lots of good chances. They just couldn't score. And then it was 3-0 Capitals before you could blink.
You could look at that first period from game four and say that that might be their best period of hockey all postseason, yet they didn't score a goal. And if anybody, and I'm glad my partner brought up that it's been since 1942 and that only one team has done it. Hey, listen, we're witnessing history right now. Why not an expansion team to come back from 3-1 down and you know, quiet anybody that says it doesn't happen, it can't be done, this series is over. I will not say that Vegas is out by any stretch of the mean, but what does make me nervous, and you know, you're paying close attention to this, Dan, Marc-Andre Fleury, this series has not been as sharp as Marc-Andre Fleury was earlier in the playoffs, and I'm worried that the old Marc-Andre Fleury, the inconsistent Marc-Andre Fleury that fans, that hockey fans know in the postseason, has resurfaced. What would you say to that?
I think a couple of things. The wisdom of years and the goalie coach, those two things come to mind. Fleury, when he was younger, you know, he, you know, sometimes his personality could, you know, lead to creativity, and then the creativity gets in the way of his ability to be a technical goalie. Well, they've got David Pryor here, who is a longtime goalie coach with the Capitals, and he has found a way to blend Fleury's creativity, his athleticism, his acrobatics, along with that technical savvy. And that, to me, has been one of his strengths. I mean, he's had a career year. I mean, his numbers, even after a more difficult Stanley Cup final, his numbers are still outstanding. So you don't do it all year and then all of a sudden forget in the final. Every goalie's going to have a little bit of a slump. Remember that when the Stanley Cup playoffs began, Braden Holtby was not the starting goalie for Washington. It was Philip Grubauer. So every goalie is going to have a little bit of a dip. It seems to have not been a very good time for Fleury, but that doesn't mean he can't get back to form. He was outstanding, remember, against the Jets. And I think that really, as much as you think, you know, Fleury could be better, I think that the support around his net, you know, there are missed assignments. You've got some players who, in front of Fleury, who don't nearly have the experience that Fleury does. And, you know, a bounce here and a missed assignment there, and Fleury looks like, you know, he's not doing a great job. And I agree with you. He's not been at his best in this series. But I think that the puck support and everything in the defensive zone needs to be stronger. They managed to move the puck. The transition game offensively was better in Game 4, certainly compared to Game 3. It looked like a muddy track. They just couldn't get anything going, no flow in Game 3. But at least there was that step forward in Game 4. But at the same time, they missed some defensive assignments. But they've got an opportunity to put it together here. To me, if they can find that flow, which they have so often at home, throughout the year, this has been a resilient team, and a resilient goalie has been the reason. Keeps guys laughing. Fleury is always smiling, and I think that his personality has rubbed off on the team in a big way.
Dan Duva, our guest here, he calls the Vegas Golden Knight games on the radio, our guest here in the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN. Dan, if there's one thing Vegas has done for me in the final, it makes me tune in right on time. I want to see the open. I want to see that crowd. If you could just describe, what is that going to be like tomorrow night? What has it been like? And, you know, kind of going along with that, if you're playing an elimination game, just how big will it be to get that first goal tomorrow night? Give your team a little bit of a boost there.
Yeah, you know, they've never been in this situation where the season was truly on the line. They had such a big lead for the division. They swept the Kings, of course, in the first round. And even though the Sharks won a couple of games in the second round, the Knights were never really down in the series. In the third round, they lost the first game against the Jets, and ultimately they won four straight to finish them off. So they've never faced elimination before. But at T-Mobile Arena, think about this, the fixed seating capacity, the number of chairs, 17,400, just under 17,400. But the number of people in the building, including standing room only tickets, has been 18,600, 18,700. And think about it, they're putting 1,300 people in that building who don't have seats. Many of those tickets, you cannot see the ice. That's how much this area has embraced the team. The pregame ceremony is truly Vegas. Might not be for everybody, but you'd expect the kind of show with the Cirque du Soleil and all of that. The crew here that does the game entertainment production is so impressive. The videos that a lot of people on TV might not see, but in the arena you do, are a lot of things going on. And then outside the arena, you've got Las Vegas Boulevard, the strip right outside of the arena. So the people outside with the restaurants and bars and viewing parties and bands and the concerts. And it is a scene like nothing I've experienced. So when you put all of it together and it's the Stanley Cup final and it's an elimination game at home, I expect that Vegas will once again show us something that we've not seen before.
Voice of the Vegas Golden Knights, Dan Duva, our guest in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. A question for you, Dan, for something that Vegas could do to maybe, you know, increase their chances of winning tomorrow night. And really a message to the rest of the NHL as well. Can somebody please, please not let Alex Ovechkin pick that spot? You know the spot I'm talking about.
Yes.
It's his. Oh, yeah. Nobody can stop him from that spot, yet he always finds that spot. What's the secret to stopping Alex Ovechkin and preventing him from getting to that spot?
Well, you know, the Capitals seem to anticipate any sort of defense of it because they did a really neat thing, which was to switch Ovechkin and John Carlson in Game 5 on the power play, and John Carlson had that bomb for a power play goal. So the Capitals are anticipating that the Knights would try to take care of Ovechkin. Even Nate Schmidt, who was with the Capitals the last several years in the American League, he was with the Hershey Bears, he knows Ovechkin very well. They were teammates, of course, and Schmidt has said, even though you think of that spot as the Ovechkin spot, he'll shoot from anywhere. He's a horse, and the puck comes to his stick, and he'll put it home, or at least towards the net, from any spot on the ice. And even how he scored the goal the other day, kind of diving over the top of Braden McNabb and then forcing it home on the backhand. It's not just Alex Ovechkin, the goal scorer who can put up 40-plus goals and, you know, over 600 in his NHL regular season career. He's doing stuff like blocking shots. He's getting in shooting lanes. He's working on the back check. I mean, this is I thought that he'd be a Conn Smythe candidate regardless of what he did in the final. I know Kuznetsov has more points than is Ovechkin's line mate, but to me, there's something that he as the captain has delivered for this club that is truly special. That spot, I don't know if it can be defended. Nate Schmidt probably knows it better than anyone because he saw it on the offensive side quite often. But it's very hard to take care of one player. And the Golden Knights don't try to eliminate a single player. They've had that team and balance attitude all season long. But it's crunch time now, no pun intended. They've got to win the last few.
He's the former voice of the Syracuse Crunch, now with Vegas. Dan, one last question here before we let you go, and if you can indulge me, because I always tell my partner Danger about the greatness of Vin Scully and Fordham broadcasters. If you can explain the Danger here, the greatness, and who would be your favorite Fordham broadcaster, I would guess it would probably be Vin.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, there have been so many great ones. I was real lucky to have experience there at WFUV and at Fordham and also at W8ER in Syracuse. And, it's not a path I would point towards a lot of high school kids, but my path was great. Got to experience both schools. But, you know, Marty Glickman at Syracuse, Vin Scully at Fordham, you know, think of, you know, for me growing up outside of New York City, you know, those guys had grown up in New York City. So listening to Vin do Dodger games and baseball. But if there's a couple of guys who've been very impactful directly with me, Mike Emmerich on the hockey side was the voice of the Devils, and of course now on NBC, and Ian Eagle, the voice of the Brooklyn Nets and CBS Sports. He had been with the New Jersey Nets. So growing up in Jersey, Mike Emmerich and Ian Eagle were influential on me, and they to this day are two of my great mentors. And so it's been neat to hang out with Mike Emmerich here the last several days and talk to him about hockey and called the same game that he's calling, which I hadn't done in a long, long time. But Ian Eagle, too. Of course, he had spent time there at Syracuse as a student. And now his son, Noah, is a student at Syracuse University. So just a handful of broadcasters. There are a lot of great ones from Marv Albert and, you know, Mike Tirico, I just saw the other day. I didn't know Mike pretty well. And there's a long list. We could probably do a whole program just on the play-by-play broadcasters. But I always say when I talk to people about Mike Emmerich, know that when you hear Doc, there's not a place in the world he would rather be than at that game telling you all about it. And if people hear that in my voice when I'm calling a game, then I think we're probably doing a good job.
Dan, you mentioned all these great broadcasters from Fordham. Where's mine? When do I get to work with one? I'm just
stop!
Sorry. Dan Duva is the voice of the Vegas Golden Knights and Vegas with their backs against the ropes tomorrow night, Game 5 in Vegas. Dan, enjoy the call. That's going to be an unbelievable atmosphere. You're very, very fortunate to be a part of it. I'm insanely jealous, not just because of the fact that you're calling that game, but you're in Vegas. I mean, that's okay in and of itself. Dan, it really appreciate you carving out some time and talk to you soon, all right?
Oh, sure. Best wishes to everyone here in Rochester, despite the Crunch Amherst rivalry. Always loved it. Always loved visiting Rochester. And, you know, that part of New York will always have a special place in my heart. So best wishes to everybody there.
Let's talk again soon, Dan.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Dan Duva, the voice of the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, and the Crunch Amherst rivalry is back. That's a good thing. If you missed that, we'll have that up for you online later. I think it's important that, you know, always the first goal is important, but a team that's facing elimination, look, it's not a stretch to think that Vegas, I'm starting to come around on your point here, Danger, that if Washington's going to win the cup, got to be now.
Because if you don't take care of business now and it goes back, and then everybody's going to have that expectation in game six.
Yes. All the pressure is on Washington.
Trotz is absolutely right. You got to take care of this now.
Yes. Without question. And listen, Vegas, if Vegas is able to score first, and their record is ridiculous this postseason. I want to say they're like 13-1 or 13-2 or something like that when scoring first this postseason.
Mm-hmm.
If they're able to score first, that's going to put an immense amount of pressure on Washington. And listen, Washington, for what it's worth, has shown that they can come back from a deficit, that they can play under pressure. I mean, they won two straight to win that Tampa Bay series. But this Vegas team, I mean, you know, we talk about history and how, you know, only one team has come back from 3-1. Well, why would we doubt that a team that shouldn't be in the finals can't repeat that history?
Well, it's Fleury. Again, that save percentage, he looks like the guy that got run out of Pittsburgh, honestly. That was kind of the conversation right after he let in three in the first. Like, oh, do you pull? Nah, you're not. What good would it do if pulling Fleury at this point, that being in game four? So, yeah, I'm going to state something obvious, but it's true. They need Fleury to step back up and play the way he played in the first three series, because you're not going to survive if he doesn't. That's it.
Game five tomorrow night. Looking forward to that. Game three of the NBA Finals tonight on ESPN Rochester. And what do? We talk about LeBron. We're already talking about LeBron watch.
We've already moved on, right?
Yeah.
We were kind of... Nobody is giving Cleveland any shot. And, you know, it was Trey Wingo's point. Okay, Cleveland did this 2016. Cleveland had a guy named Kyrie Irving. That was a pretty good second option for the Cavs that year. And Golden State didn't have a guy named Kevin Durant. All right. So it's a little bit different this year. So we had a great conversation earlier in the show today about the next steps. And, you know, actually there are odds out if you want to go bet where LeBron James will play next season. Yeah, you can go get your fix on the internet and place your money there. So we had some fun with that. But at least tonight, Danger, my hope for the short term that this series isn't for. I'm not a Cavs fan, but I am a fan of basketball, and I just don't want to see a sweep here.
You're going to see a sweep here.
I know.
You're going to see a sweep here.
I know. And
I don't want to read too much into body language. I don't want to read too much into how game one ended. But, boy, after watching game two, and it's interesting to me how everything kind of got rolled out. They lose game two, and then you see the footage of game one at the end of regulation, and game two makes more sense. Like, oh, well, yeah, LeBron was absolutely dejected, demoralized, frustrated, miserable, and exhausted after regulation in game one with the way that game ended. That the way the team played in game two makes that much more sense. They didn't rebound mentally from how game one ended, and I don't know that they're going to have anything for game three or game four to be able to make this a series. Golden State and the style that they play, and when Steph is hitting, and I don't expect Steph to hit 9 3-pointers every time he hits the court, but every 3-pointer he hits seems like it's just a dagger. It's just demoralizing. And you can sense it in Cleveland. And by the way, that game one, the way that game one ended, and that reaction from LeBron on the bench at the end of regulation, that gives LeBron an out to leave Cleveland. Can anybody really fault him for leaving Cleveland this time, given the way it's gone this postseason? How much he's been done, he's been asked to do, how much of the load he's had to shoulder himself, and to see that game one end the way it ended, and to see how frustrated he was. I don't know if I can blame him if he wants to go to L.A.
I'm not buying these reports from L.A. executives. It's a done deal that he's going to the Lakers. Okay. It sounds more like a wish here. Come on. LeBron hasn't had 2 seconds to think about this. I'm not buying that for a second.
Makes sense, though.
No, it doesn't.
On what level? Makes sense.
Okay. Because he was good in that Amy Schumer movie. He wants to go make more movies.
What was that movie called? Will, what was that movie called?
It's called Trainwreck.
Trainwreck.
Thank you.
It was a train wreck.
I thought it was a decent movie.
His performance is the best part of the movie.
He's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, who knew LeBron had that kind of personality? He was kind of funny in that movie.
We We need small doses. He's not the leading man, right? So you when come he, in.
You didn't see the movie. Okay.
When he asked Bill Hader if we're watching Downton Abbey later, I would have handed him the Oscar there.
Yeah, yes. Yes. Yeah. LeBron was good. He was good in that movie. I could see him doing more of that. Now, I'm not saying that's the reasoning for going to L.A., but if you're in L.A. and you have the potential to make that much more money.
I don't think that's the number one motivation.
You don't think money is the number one motivation?
No, I think it's his legacy.
Gee, money is the number one motivation for everything. Everything. Everything that we're talking about. Anything that we talk about in this sport, money is the motivation. Teams winning, money is the motivation.
No,
the anthem protest, money is the motivation.
I understand money's a huge motivation, but where he decides to go is going to be which team is going to give me the best chance to win. I don't think the ancillary profits that he could potentially make in Los Angeles if I got to deal with that idiot, LeVar Ball, or I have a failure of a sporting cast danger. Because, yes, where he would go, the most money, duh, it would be Los Angeles. Does that give him the best opportunity to win? No, it doesn't.
If you build the team, which he has experience in doing, around him, yeah, he'll be fine.
Houston or Philadelphia would be the choices. And I would cross Houston off the list because you got Golden State in your path. Philadelphia or Cleveland,
now,
long shot being
now
Miami.
You're talking. See, now when you consider that if he loses this series, he's 3-6 in the finals. That doesn't bode well for his legacy. That doesn't compare to the greats of the game. But if you were to go to the Western Conference and take on Golden State head on in the Western Conference playoffs and beat them on your way to a title.
With what? With what? You're going to bring in Paul George and Lonzo Ball?
Yes. Look,
come on.
Yes.
No, that would be nothing. It would be just a half step up what you have in Cleveland right now.
That's a story that builds that you can add on to his legacy. That's an achievement that you can add on to his legacy, and it makes that 3-6 record in the finals look a little less stinky.
I think if he wants to win championships, the young and up and coming team would be Philadelphia. They blow out their GM.
Yeah, they haven't done it yet.
The timing of this. Think
they
about it.
They haven't done it yet.
They will. And then if LeBron, you can come to us, you're dealing directly with the owner. We're going to cut out the GM. You can bring in your own GM. That's unprecedented power LeBron could have in Philadelphia.
He has that anywhere he goes. Anywhere he goes, he has that.
So Cleveland, Ty Lue, yeah, I guess.
He does. Yeah. He has that power already. He's going to have that power anywhere he goes.
He wouldn't in Los Angeles.
Yes, he would.
No, he would not.
Yes, he would.
Okay, then you're going to keep Ball on his team? I don't think so.
Keep Ball on the team. Who cares? What, you think he's going to... You think with the money he's making, with what he has and what he brings to the table, that he's going to spend burn a single calorie on the dad of one of his teammates? No. LeBron's bigger than that. No. Doesn't matter.
We're arguing about basketball danger.
That's
new,
right.
New
it,
ground
it,
here.
If it was today and you said pick a team that he's going to, I'm saying LA.
I say that he kicks the can down the road. It's a 1-year deal with Cleveland. He goes through this all over again.
Ugh. Ugh. Good luck with that. Let's get the shots.
Yes.
Shots brought to you by Market View Liquor Henrietta, the only liquor store you'll ever need. Best prices, best selection, most helpful. Stop on your way home tonight, Market View Liquor, Jefferson Road in Henrietta.
Yeah, we'll give you the updates from the French Open. An update, remember how the Yankees are furious at ESPN for flexing that game? We have a resolution. We'll tell you which side backed down. There is a season-ending injury also for the Yankees. And, the Major League Baseball draft is ongoing. The kid from Penfield got drafted today, Greg Cullen. We'll tell you where he went. That's coming up in Shots.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.